guys, Betsy and Thomas. We are the Voices of America, and we're here today to thank all of you patriots in Europe and around the world for your fantastic protest on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, August 29th and 30th. They were absolutely phenomenal, from Berlin to London. We so enjoyed listening to David Icke speak in London. We saw you in Switzerland. We also saw protests in South America, although they didn't seem to be coronavirus, but they were protesting their leaders. It was fabulous. And among all of that were signs of QAnon and genocide, face mask. It was fantastic.
I think the sleeper has awakened, and that we had a lot to do with it, because we're out here yelling and screaming and setting fires. And now I thought, and this is like shocking, but I thought that really free speech had been squelched in England completely. As far as I knew, if you even wrote a Gmail to somebody that you said you might not like Sharia law or the Muslims who are raping the children in your neighborhood, they would come and take the old woman away out of her house. Okay. But now they go out in the street. They got a permit for what, 18,000, and how many showed up in Trafalgar Square? God only knows. It looked like at least 50,000, just as a rough estimate. I've been to Trafalgar, and it's a big square. And then all over the place, you know, in Berlin, they had, they tried to close it down, couldn't, because it just filled the streets too much. So we're talking about at least 1 million people came out for this event to basically protest the fascist control of their freedoms based upon the pharmaceutical attack of human beings worldwide.
Now, this is not going to be reported in mainstream media, and or if it is at all, you're going to have shots where they don't pull in to look at the signs. Because in Berlin, I was so excited to see that people really get it. They understand that wearing the face mask is just a step of compliance that leads them to genocide. Because, folks, you know, it wasn't too long ago that relatives, ancestors of the people who live in Germany were marched into boxcars and taken to concentration camps. So once we alerted the influential leaders in Germany of what was really going on, they saw quickly that that's what this was. And people have awakened all around the world. Now, what I was wondering is, what are the people in the Pilgrim Society thinking Monday morning after watching what happened this weekend around the world?
Well, you see, all pilgrims want socialism, and Antifa and Black Lives Matter want socialism, and every single organization supported by the Democrat Party wants socialism. And we can go into that. The Pilgrim Society, of course, you have to work through individuals. Let's take George Soros. George Soros just became the person in control of all of Black Lives Matter's donations, and many of Antifa. It now goes through the Tides Foundation. To begin with, it was going through an international development exchange, which changed its name when it got caught to Thousand Currents. And then it moved over to Act Blue. And then when it was at Act Blue, it was a direct extension of the Democratic National Committee. So I liked what people said. Joe, own it. Black Lives Matter and Antifa are you. You are them. They are the Democratic Party. Now, not long before these peaceful protests, with nobody getting shot, nobody coming out dressed in Antifa, nobody coming out demanding that Black Lives Matter. But just before that, there was a big Black Lives Matter protest, and it wasn't peaceful. And Antifa did come out. And you get to see the fascists come out in their supposed protests, like in Portland. Peaceful protests. No, Portland is gutted. It is the perfect example. That's Venezuela in America, okay? That's socialism in America. You want to see socialism, folks? You want to see Biden and the whole Democrat Party and Pelosi and AOC and the gang? You want to see what they're going to do? It's called Sharia law. And just go up to Minnesota, or it's called outright anarchic socialism. Socialism always entails fascism and anarchy. And it always entails leaders who are the most violent and vicious, who then get placed in control. So what is that? That's just a stupid, uninformed dictatorship based upon idealism and some philosophy that the people out on the street who are fighting for Black Lives Matter don't know what they're talking about. Not one of them will have a debate with me. Not one of them will be able to give any evidence why what they're saying is true, except that it's the same things repeated by Lenin and Marx and Trotsky and Stalin and Benito Mussolini and Hitler. It's the same anarchic socialism. It's fascism in the worst form. But what we saw with these recent things are these recent protests, peaceful, and people are coming out and saying, I've had enough. I'm not going to wear your mask. I'm not going to take your vaccine. I'm not going to take any vaccines. I'm not going to do anything that the United Nations World Health Organization recommends. I'm going to stand up against the pedophiles. They really went crazy in the pedophiles in London because the whole place is run by a bunch of pedophiles. That's not a conspiracy. All you got to do is, look at Andrew or anybody else in the royal family, and you will see pedophilia shamelessly. The laws that they put forward want to make children able to have sex with children at age 6, and then they went to 9, and now they're debating 12. So this is the kind of people that they are fighting against. So the Pilgrim Society, the elitists who want socialism for everyone but oligarchy for themselves, that's who they're fighting against. But in what I'm hoping for is that this waking up, because it came right into their homes by basically enslaving people and putting them under house arrest, controlling them through a false narrative, controlling them through false statistics, controlling them through contact tracing, controlling them by you put the mask on or we put you in jail or give you thousands of dollars of fines, or I'm going to take your children away from you. That's what they say in England and all the Commonwealth nations. Now, New Zealand, perfect example of New Zealand becoming communists. It's absolutely amazing. Now, what I want to point out is the reason this happens and then the cause, and then point out what we can do to stop it. The reason it happens is very, very simple. Idiots get power. And these idiots believe ideologies and nonsense that have nothing to do with reality. And then when they get the power, like Whitmer in Michigan, she goes completely nuts with it, thinking that she's going to become the vice presidential candidate or the president because Joe would die. So Whitmer is abusing Michigan because she thought she was going to become the president of the United States. That's the kind of unbelievably small thinking that is in the minds of the people who created this plandemic, who created lots of vaccines that don't work, who refuse to let treatments be used in America that are healing people all over the world. These are very evil people. When we say Fauci or Birx or we say Redfield or we say Collins, we are talking about genocidists. So that's the cause, stupid people having tremendous power. Solution is very simple.
Now, it's important to note before you go too far, it's that you, in an earlier audio, I think last month, pointed out to people what was wrong with these statistics. And finally, we're beginning to see it emerge where people are realizing that the comorbidities are the numbers that Fauci and Birx were using in America.
We were first to point that out. That's right. And the solution to all this problem is basically stop the pandemic laws. There are laws that support this insanity in America and in other countries. And your country is aligned through your own medical government medical facilities and the bosses of what happens in your country in terms of pandemic. And they're aligned with the World Health Organization, which we know is a pack of lying, disgusting, stinking, eugenist, depopulationist murderers. They are genocidists, and they're using pharmaceutical control to try to kill people and basically create chaos. Because when you have chaos, it leads to the crazy people jumping up, like in Portland, and saying, people who are complete idiots, I'm going to be in control because I have the idea that we should defund the police because I don't like what one policeman did. This is insanity. This is democracy at its worst. And it's the reason we have a constitutional republic and not a democracy. But what we just saw over the last weekend was a true manifestation of democracy. People coming out on the streets and with many, many voices, calmly stating what it is that they want, and basically voting by being there together. And of course, they didn't want that to happen. They don't want those type of peaceful protests, and they don't want anyone taking away their astounding wrongful control of the human beings who are underneath their political, their political constituents, the people that they're representing. Okay, Fauci is only representing himself. We've gone into how evil he is. Redmond, same thing. Francis Collins, same thing. You can take these people apart. Remember, Fauci changed his mind 17 times on his advice. Therefore, what advice did he give? Chaos. And when is anybody saying, what are the parameters to create a pandemic and what are the parameters to end the pandemic? They are so minuscule, you wouldn't believe it. If three people in three different regions of the United Nations medical regions gets a cold, a coronavirus of any type, a cold, a flu, any type, World Health Organization can call a pandemic. That's how flimsy it is. Now, there are no laws and there are no provisions to stop the declaration of a pandemic. There's laws that create it, and the president is not in control. No. Absolutely not. The World Health Organization, the National Institute of Health, and the CDC are in control because we set the laws up that way. So we need to abnegate and repeal those laws and move forward with some sanity. There can be nothing that conflicts with the Constitution. And these pandemic laws are odious. They conflict with the Constitution and they must be abnegated. They must be repealed. And we should have sensible relationships to the concept of epidemics, and the concept of a pandemic still should never be able to take over our constitutional rights, take away our civil liberties. That's insanity. So what you said from the beginning, when they started reporting how many people died of COVID, I said, no. Let's go to the CDC site. Now, to find the chart, which everybody's showing, which I found first, I didn't see anywhere ever anybody post that chart until we did and explain it. And when it was explained, you have to subtract the deaths by influenza. First off, it's so bad. It's so bad. If you extract the deaths that they say are COVID that also had influenza, you extract the deaths that also had pneumonia, then you get down to 9,000. But if you look at the flu deaths, the least we've ever had in America since they started recording, it was 35,000. Last year was 90,000 flu deaths. This year, it has frozen at 6,810, I think. Okay, those are lies. Add 50,000 to that. Add 60,000. Add more because we happen to be having a season where, the flu is actually taking a lot of lives, but they do not count it as flu because they get $13,000 if they count it instead of under flu. They just click COVID-19 and don't click flu, and that's how you get so many numbers, because they get $13,000 each time they report that to the CDC. And if they go on a ventilator and you report that to the CDC, it's $39,000 for the institution that reported it. Now, in Hawaii, there were almost no COVID, and they stopped people from coming for vacations, and they stopped people from going. They basically said, no, we're freezing the island. Almost no COVID. Then the law reached them, and the Hawaiian state legislature said, oh, look at this. Overnight, they became supposedly the worst place for COVID. Why? Because they started receiving the money into all those facilities, and they realized all they had to do was check the box, send an email to CDC, and they'd get money. So when that started happening in Hawaii, now supposedly we have the worst case of any state in Hawaii right now. That is a lie. I know people there. Nobody has it. They wouldn't have the capacity in their hospitals to handle that, what they're saying is happening, which is all just a big fat lie. But Hawaii is really good at lying. I know. I lived there for 5 years and worked in various elements of the government and the education, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so what you really have there is no deaths from COVID-19. That's right. Because if you have the flu, then you have a coronavirus. And so if you're tested and you died and you have the coronavirus in you, well, that's because you have the flu. Okay, so I'm not sure that there's anybody who's died of COVID-19. As a matter of fact, what they have proven is the following. In Florida, they took all the numbers of morbidity, couldn't find a single case where someone died of COVID-19. Not one single case. In all cases, they had pre-morbidity. They had illness that was probably going to kill them anyway, including heart disease, massive diabetes, multiple, you know, pneumonia, double pneumonia, horrible influenza. And remember, the influenza shot gives influenza, so it's impossible that in this season of COVID, when people got the influenza shot, and we know that when people die of influenza, 65% of them had already had that yearly influenza shot. That means that in this season, when they're giving out the flu shot for free, they're killing people with it and calling it COVID-19. It's just simply influenza. And it's a big fat lie. And the CDC knows this. And 2 days ago, they admitted it. Just like a week ago, about 10 days ago, they said, we have proof that asymptomatic people cannot transmit the infection. They came out, clearly said that, showed the science. 2 days later, they reneged and said, no, they're completely wrong. Asymptomatic people who are not ill, who get tested, and they say they have it, they can't pass it to anybody. And there's been no cases of a child passing it to an adult, period. Worldwide, these studies have gone on. And in Italy, where they had terrible numbers, they went back and found that the previous year's flu shot was, in fact, held 4 or 5 different strands of flu, and that's what killed people. It was like a 5 times stronger influenza shot that they gave to everyone for free in Italy, especially if you're old. So a doctor went in, and he went to all the deaths. And I forget how many he had done. He looked at all, just about every death that they would let him look at. Couldn't find a single person who died of COVID-19. No evidence that anyone died of COVID-19 in Italy so far in the studies done by multiple doctors. Now, this is going on around the world. Okay, it's not just in Florida and Italy. It's all around the world. And what are they finding? First off, the numbers are absolutely wrong. That recently, again, what's this, the 10th time this has been in the news, that all the tests, the really good DNA test from China, they're all wrong. They're all bad. Every single test, they found this in Sweden, every single test that they did with things from the Communist Chinese Party drug that was testing the highest level that you can for coronavirus. So you assumed that if you got one of the 3 lower type tests and you didn't do the DNA test, that it could be skewed. But you assume the DNA test would be right. Incorrect. It is so bad, they tested it on inanimate objects and they had COVID. Okay? Now, we've already seen they tested it on fruit and dogs and goats and animals and dirt. And everybody's got COVID-19 according to these tests. Now, hang on. That means the very best tests that they have coming from China are 100% wrong. No matter, you can't even include them. And then let's remember, deep into this, as soon as the tests started going out, who was the first people who had them magically and distributed them? That would be the CDC. And what did we find out about those tests, which are no longer being distributed, but they were still distributed even after they admitted that every test was giving people COVID-19, because the swab already had the virus on it. So they weren't testing, they were distributing. And the amazing thing is that with these man-made viruses, and I can go into all of that, I've done it too many times already, they're man-made. They're just not effective. They're just not very effective unless you inject it into the person, get it into their body some way. So that's what the swab in your nose is for. And some people have said when they do the one for the blood, they're actually poking you with it to draw the blood. So the first thing they do is infect you, as they poke you with it. And then they draw the blood, and then they, you know, they may or may not tell you that you have it, but you do after that. And then you get to, if you have an immune system, and a lot of people have crashed their immune system, but if you have one, you get to combat it, and then you'll be more or less stronger to fight it if you get it again. You won't be immune. It's called herd immunity. If you, you know, you get it from somebody else and then you overcome it, and then that makes you strong so that you couldn't get it. But here's the deal. That's not what they want. The mask on your face is to make you sick, period. That's what all the science says. Any scientist or doctor who tells you other than that is an idiot. Okay. So the mask has nothing to do with COVID, except that it wishes to make you sicker. That is what it's there for. It's not going to prevent anything. They have not yet found even a single case of it being transmitted from a person to a person yet. And to do the vaccine tests, you need 10,000 people in one group, 10,000 people in the other group who don't get it. One group gets it, one group doesn't, as the test group. They can't find 20,000 people in America who test with COVID-19, okay? They can't even find the people to do the tests.
See, everything you're describing is so important, and those are weeds. These are details that we're going to have to go through in order to show where the lies are in so many different areas of the world. I mean, I was sitting there doing the dishes this morning thinking, wow, my whole life has been nothing but living the lies that the Pilgrim Society had pushed out in their propaganda on television, their fake history books, their indoctrination centers and schools. And so once you lift up and you see what the real picture is, and thank goodness that the miners are working to show us that. They pulled out the evidence that showed that at the turn of the century in the 1900s, a group of very evil men were working and set a plan in place for the eventual takeover of the entire world, this thing we call the New World Order. It was supposed to take 200 years. And if many of you remember Cass Sunstein, he wrote a book called Nudge. Well, Nudge is really what this process is about. Every generation gets nudged a little bit further down the road. So before you know it, we're here. I mean, this is what it looks like when remember, we would always say you can't keep kicking the can down the road. Well, here we are. And these protests we're seeing, the destruction of our cities around the world, loss of businesses, the economy falling, the central banks, the fiat currency is going to be collapsing. We are witnessing real time what kicking the can down the road looks like. But just remember, you can maintain some sanity if you lift up to see what the whole picture is and realize that by taking down these columns that you're describing and all the fallacies and the propaganda, whether they exist in our community or whether we can affect them on a national level, it all does what it needs to do to take down this big 200-year plan of world domination.
I'd like to give another example, Betsy, to underscore what you just said and to prove to people that what I am saying is not a conspiracy theory and nuts. It's not nuts at all. The nuts are the people in charge. For instance, the world, the Center for Disease and Control Prevention, notice no one ever says the P, prevention. Why? They don't want prevention. They don't do that. They don't do prevention, okay? They don't allow treatments. They've never created a vaccine that worked. And their advice is insane. Their advice, the CDC tells you to wear a mask when they know the science says that's going to make you ill. Children have dropped over dead in China because they are so, you know, they enforce it so strictly, right? And they're in school and they're out doing gym and children drop over dead. We can't count all the deaths that are subsidiary and are the... Actually, I was going to say unintended consequences, but they are the planned consequences. Now, here's the new one. How many of you have been asleep from the time that antibacterial hand wash came into vogue? Well, folks, we knew then, and we know absolutely now, antibacterial hand wash is the worst thing you could possibly put on your body. First off, it's ethanol. It goes right through your skin, cutaneous poisoning through a petrochemical to begin with. Secondly, it gets rid of bacteria. It kills it. The bacteria on your hands needs to get in your mouth to go into your gut, or else you won't live. without Lactobacillus acidophilus and the billions of bacteria in your stomach, you can't live. So if you eradicate the bacteria on your hands and you use that stuff, it creates a super bacteria. And this is where super strep came from. And super, there's all kinds of super bacteria now that will eat your skin. Where did that come from? That came from the CDC telling people that we should use antibacterial substances on our body, on our hands. And now they tell us we have to do it every time we turn around. Every store you go in, they make you, in some cases, put that horrible stuff on your body. That is such a bad, bad thing. And that's the reason you will find almost no antibacterial soaps that have lasted. Because if you put antibacterial soap all over your body, it harms you. You will get sick. Okay. So we have the CDC saying, wear masks, put this stuff on your hands, because nobody has died, actually.
Well, I want to know when all this nonsense is going to stop. When are the people of the world going to have a big enough voice to put an end to this crazy stuff? I mean, we have got to put down these face masks. We cannot continue to terrorize the children of this world that they walk around in public with a face mask around their face. I mean, schools this year are just going to be nightmarish kinds of social engineering centers. So I want it stopped. The people of the world have said with their feet, their demonstrations, they want it stopped. How do you see it stopping?
Well, let's take, for example, France, where all the yellow vests went out again and again and again and again and again and again. What did it do? Nothing. Why? A Rothschild is in control. A Rothschild, an open blood lineage Rothschild, is in control of France, who ignores all those people. They need to have another French Revolution. We need, in any case where you actually have a dictator fulfilling the Pilgrim Society's plandemic, which is nothing more than a new type of war on your bloodstream that they've been perfecting since the 1900s, and openly doing it, by the way, we need to make that effective. Now, you can go out and you can protest. Now, in France, they get violent, don't they? I like the nonviolent ones, because we got to see Czechoslovakia and all kinds of other countries have nonviolent protests, and then they became, democratic republics, and they got some freedom from the Russians. Well, what we now need is freedom from the Pilgrims Society, freedoms from the elite who control all of this. So we have to identify them, and we have to go after them personally. This is a personal battle, and going out on the streets to shoot people who are Antifa, that's not the solution. More violence against that violence gives them justification. What is happening now is beautiful. Trump is backing off and he's letting them show who they are. Now that's the solution. The solution is when people wake up from their entertainment, from their addiction to their machines, from their stupidity from fluoride in the water, which has calcified their pineal gland and they can't actually have a thought. But when they start thinking, and when they say, it's just a few weeks, I got to stay in the house. Oh, I got to wear a mask. That's not so bad. Oh, I got to do that. No, wrong. At a certain point, they got to wake up. So when the cities in America are on fire and people are getting killed and the mayors are defunding the police, this is it. This is the Civil War. But it isn't going to be between people on the streets per se. It shouldn't be. It's between those in control and those being controlled. So if we can wake up, I know I say this all the time and people don't believe it. It is consciousness, folks. Who got those people in Europe awake when they have no freedom of speech? There's nothing on the internet in Britain, in anywhere in the United, in the European Union, where there's any freedom to talk about the things that they came out to protest about. Now, is there? None, zero. So where'd it come from? It came from a grassroots movement of consciousness that was seeded into the internet, which at first was built as a war weapon and a psyops control device for humanity, which it has become perfect. But then it got out of control, commerce got put on the internet, and people like us got to speak freely, and then others listened. And you'd be surprised how many people translate what we say and send it out to people in Germany, and other places because we get the feedback. So the deal is consciousness, it only takes a little bit. And then, you know, the speakers at those meetings, they were probably the most woke, but they woke all those others. And now all those others are going to be political activists. They're going to be patriots for their own country, and they're going to be people fighting for freedom. When you take away someone's freedom, that is when they become strong. So they took away our freedoms to the point that it is unprecedented in history, and it's global, and it's a few people and a few organizations, and it's very easy to topple them. Trump's already toppled the World Health Organization. He told the CDC that their statistics are wrong and they need to restructure it. The National Institute of Health is completely shamed by their disgusting and disgraceful behavior, which showed that they weren't prepared for anything. They had no equipment. They had nothing. They had no anything. All they had was a plan to kill people, not to help people.
Let's shift gears a little bit, because just the other day, was it last week or something, I said to you, I said, how come we haven't heard anything from Ratcliffe? He has his position as the Director of National Intelligence, and I'm hearing nothing. And then, well, great. Now he's on that propagandist Bartiromo show, but I tuned in because I wanted to listen to what Mr. Ratcliffe had to say and what he's doing. And he's changing the way the Congress gets its intelligence reports and has everyone in a tizzy about that. Why is that?
First off, the National Security Council became a political machine by the Democrats, who kept enlarging it. The Republicans tried to keep making it smaller. So Ratcliffe, his job, we should not ever hear a word out of him in the entire time he has his job. Why? It's top friggin' secret. It is the plan of the president. It is the mind of the president. It is absolutely beyond top secret. And that it has become politicized so that a Condoleezza Rice or a Susan Rice or any of them, anyone who ever sat in that chair, Clapper or any of them, we should have never heard one single word from any of them ever, right? So that's the reason you haven't heard from Ratcliffe. He only went on that show because why? The left took what he did and made and lied about it and said it was horrible. Here's what happened. He simply did the following. He said, I, as the person who must control the information flow from the National Security Council to the Gang of Eight, which is Senate and House intelligence committees, right? Now, when Brennan was in charge and when the coup was going on, Brennan gave separate intelligence reports on the election to each of the members of the Gang of Eight. And now we know that he told each of them a different story. And Nunes is the one who's come out and said, well, he never told me anything like this. But he went to the Democrats and said, gloatingly, we're taking down Trump with a coup. And they all knew it. And so anybody who's on the Senate Intelligence Committee or the House Intelligence Committee that wants to play like there wasn't a coup is simply a treasonous, seditious insurrectionist who should be dealt with as such. So Brennan would give verbal intelligence reports. And in some of them, he sent in people to spy on Trump, to tell him lies, and to try to entrap him. Entrapment instead of intelligence reports. Instead of telling him what he could have immediately eradicated. And when they told him Flynn had compromised himself, immediately Flynn was gone. When they told Trump that Manafort was compromised, Manafort was gone.
Listen, I know you have, it's just breaking news, it's coming across my computer right now, that the D.C. Circuit denies Michael Flynn's request to order a federal judge to dismiss the criminal information against him. What that does is it overturns the earlier panel ruling that was in Flynn's favor. I mean, can't you believe how corrupt the courts are?
Well, then this will go to the Supreme Court.
Well, and then what? Sure. And so then John Roberts, who's a Knights of Malta, is going to rule on it? I mean, we got to get rid of Roberts and anybody else. And my suspicion of Gorsuch and his pretty little wife over there yucking it up with the Rothschilds earlier, maybe it was in 2019. But I mean, come on. We want a Supreme Court that puts America first. I don't want a bunch of foreign agents on the Supreme Court. And Ruth Ginsburg, I mean, is she even alive? There has never been any documentation, any proof since November 2018 that that old biddy is alive. So here we're going to put, what, our spotlight on the courts now using Michael Flynn once again?
Yes. And because of all the exculpatory evidence and because they have no criminal evidence, he will eventually win the day. But this is Trump derangement syndrome. This is a judge who was told your judgeship is on the line. If you can't prosecute Flynn, you're out. So that's the reason that judge has gone nuts. And the reason that the circuit court had to vote for him is simply because at this point, they cannot let Flynn be found innocent before the election. After the election, oh, they'll let it go, but not until the election. They'll even reconsider Manafort. I mean, they let Cohen out for a while, you know? I mean, none of these things are any real charges. These are not really, this is very, very minute compared to what goes on with so many people in Washington, D.C. So I'm not so worried about that, except that his lawyer and he will have to continue to fight. And it's just disgusting. They do not, they want to smear Flynn's name. Here is why. The second that Flynn no longer, if they give him a sentence, it will be commuted. If he is convicted, he will be given a pardon. And if he comes back into the National Security Council as an advisor or just an advisor, no, an appointment that does not have to be confirmed. If he comes back into the National Security Council with an appointment that it doesn't have to be confirmed, he's going to rip the place apart exactly as Grinnell did, because he knows how to rip it apart. And he knows where you can actually still get intelligence from people who are in the military and are not corporate spies selling it out information, the intelligence to the highest bidder. That's what's going on. So Flynn is a linchpin in this entire thing, much more so than Stone. Stone had actually done some things wrong. Flynn did nothing wrong. And if they prosecute him, then what they do is they show all of the people who are aligned with the evil cabal, the senior executive service members, the people who are part of the resistance, the people who are fighting against Trump, the Never Trumpers. It's showing them who they are. Trump derangement syndrome always makes them expose who they are. It's a beautiful thing. So this judge fighting, unprecedented, and now he gets a confirmation. This is going to go down in history, Mayor Daley in Chicago's mob. This is the judicial mob of Washington, D.C., and we're getting to see it exposed, and it's a good thing. And also, you get to see all the politicians. When things happen, people get out on the streets and do peaceful protests, or the light comes out. What do you get to see? The people in power squirm like crazy. I mean, can you imagine the mayor of Portland justifying what he's doing? Every time he opens his mouth, he gets more votes for Donald Trump. This is the most beautiful thing that the Democrats could do to show who they really are after all these years of lying, saying they support Black Americans. No, they don't. They've always persecuted. They've done nothing for Black Americans. Are you kidding? And yet they have entire groups of people convinced that they must vote a certain way because that's how they're going to get the money that the Democrats can shuffle through to people who want a socialist government and Sharia law right here in America. And how is that possible? How could anyone even consider Sharia law being instituted in Minnesota in cities and literally having Sharia policemen? I mean, don't they see the no-go zones in Sweden and France? They don't see the criminal activity. So what I'm hoping is if we can fight this pandemic, and because it's become personal and it's right in your face with the mask and it's in your bloodstream, whether you like it or not, with a Bill Gates vaccine, hopefully this is going to wake people up to also the invasion of Europe by a group of people that was all planned. Obama bombed them, created 60 million refugees, worked with Turkey to send them in to destroy, with George Soros giving ships to bring them to destroy the European Union. Now, you ask anyone in Europe, it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Last I checked, less than 2.5% of the millions of invaders, they call migrants, actually have a job. So that means their social systems are all going to collapse. So that means that's what was planned. So George Soros will not be happy until Venezuela type of socialism that, of course, always fails, takes over Europe, and that he gets to see again, because remember, he was a Nazi, and so was Kissinger, and they turned on their own people, and all they want is socialism to come back with them being in control of the fascist group that is the oligarch that is in control.
Yes, but the thing with Michael Flynn is that, let's go back to that. You know, I keep recalling the picture that we keep posting on the Cat Report of that time that he was with Richard Dearlove. Now, I understand that General Flynn has been around a lot of famous and noteworthy people, but this one of Dearlove is interesting to me because he could actually put together the whole picture and show how the Privy Council attempted Arvinder Sambhai, Richard Dearlove, Mark Malik Brown, Patty, all of them, our British friends over there in the Privy Council, hiding behind the Queen. And they were the ones that were running the overthrow attempt of Donald Trump. And Michael Flynn could certainly put that together very easily. So I wonder how much pressure is coming from these Crown agents to keep Flynn's court case going.
Well, that's an absolutely excellent point. Because remember, when it came down to the fact that the finger was being pointed directly at the Brits came over and begged Donald Trump, please don't look into this. And Michael Flynn was being set up by the Cambridge intelligence groups, Hakluyt and all the others, Orbis Business and Dearlove and all the ex-intelligence people from Britain. They were setting up anyone they could. And Michael Flynn is fearless. That's the reason that when he was fired by Obama, but remember, Obama fired more generals and admirals than probably the entire history of America. In his 8 years, he got rid of more top brass fired than in probably the entire American history. And so Flynn was just another one that he said, oh, well, you're not going to do what I say. Well, why would they? It was insanity to bomb seven countries that we had no reason to bomb. Look what Obama did. So people waking up with Flynn and Flynn's case, people waking up, going out on the street with the fighting the plandemic. This is all good. This is all beautiful. Unfortunately, our good friend Flynn and his son, who we know, and we want to just tell them, yes, we certainly do know that you've been following us every single step of the way since we were at Bin, because that is where your son said he was getting his intelligence that he gave to Trump, and Trump held up a copy of Bin, and at the top was our article. So you cannot tell me that Trump has not been following us from the beginning, and he was using Flynn, and then Flynn's intelligence group, and his son and Flynn ran that intelligence group, and they were working, unfortunately, with Russia and Turkey without filing as foreign agents. That's the only thing they did wrong. That's it. But Turkey is in NATO. They're not a foreign agent. Russia wasn't our enemy. Why would you have to state that when you were simply working on a radio station in America that wasn't considered a Russian or a foreign agent? So how is working for Sputnik or RT somehow working for the Russians? And that's what they say Flynn did. That's complete insanity. The Russians were our friends. The Clintons were kissing Putin all over. They were in bed with Putin so bad, they were just like in bed with the Chinese. So Russia wasn't our enemy at the time that they actually say that Flynn was working with the enemy. Complete nonsense. And this is known because John Podesta and his brother, Tony, they didn't file FARA, and they were doing big deals for Russia and Ukraine and Turkey and all and many other countries, Venezuela and everything else. Did they file? They were allowed to file after the fact, and they weren't prosecuted for it. In the same exact case with Flynn and Manafort, because it overlapped. So Podesta was doing everything Manafort was doing. Podesta was doing everything Flynn was doing, and he walked. He walked. He absolutely, he got to file after the fact, and he made a whole lot more money than any of them. So this is bringing all this out. We've never, ever seen the corruption of Washington, D.C. explicated, shown in this way. And as it is, it's just going to die in the vine, folks, because anyone can see its lawlessness. If you think Portland or Minnesota is okay, then you support lawlessness. And good luck when that lawlessness comes to your neighborhood, because I bet you are not going to like it. So when it starts going out to all the neighborhoods from these cities that are run by Democrats who are complete idiots, who want to get rid of the police, defund the police, and get social workers to go counsel people who are killing people in the captured part of Portland or the captured part of Minneapolis. This is insanity. Now, the president, until he declares insurrection, which then will be across all state lines, he can't just go in and use the National Guard to defend. He can only defend federal property. But when they attacked Rand Paul, if Trump can get the legal nod to say that he can create an executive order declaring that there is an insurrection by Black Lives Matter and Antifa, well, that's the end of them. Then he can go across state lines, the National Guard.
No, that's not what's happening, though. Congress is trying to pass some kind of bipartisan legislation that QAnon is the terrorist organization. And so I'm going to be very, I'm going to be carefully watching that vote, because that's going to clearly show me who the enemies are in Congress.
Now, QAnon, you know, we've talked about it. We were there. They actually used our stuff to begin with. The other day, it was so funny. Someone had posted the very first set of Q posts. Those were our words, but they were twisted up so that you couldn't get the truth from it. You just got insinuations of the truth. Now, here's the deal with Q. In some cases, it insinuates the truth. They insinuate because they don't know. They haven't done any work. You never, ever see Q or any Anons do any work except the silly pictures they take insinuating things, right? So what do you get from Q, Anon, if you are a follower of that? Well, it sparks your curiosity to go and look at articles. Hello, look at the Cat Report. We have those articles days before. We are always ahead of Q. There's no, I wonder if Q is still following the Cat Report and simply just takes a lot of that material. And then also what we say on these podcasts, because it does align, but they're always two, three, four days behind, and then they put it into a code and they don't really just blatantly tell the truth. Now, this is at least the fourth iteration of Q. If you go back, you can see that there's a different tenor at 4chan, then it went to 8chan, and then it went to at least two other groups since then. And we know that one of the groups, the feds came in, and the ladies who talked to us from 8chan, who tried to get us to be the controllers of Q and for us to be the Anons, she begged us to do that. We said no. After that, some people took it up, and we actually know who they are. So Q's not a hidden thing. I'm not going to say who it is because it might have changed already. I don't follow it anymore, but when I do follow it, it's so far behind, it's kind of boring to us. So we know who they are. The people who own 8chan know who Q is. Q is not one person. It never was one person. And the Anons are simply the members of the Q group who sit around in a conclave like we have and say, okay, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, I'm going to do this, and then it makes it interesting. It's like a novel, you know, it's like a mystery novel. But the deal is they went astray a few times and they went crazy. For a while they had, I believe, the CIA took them over or someone who was working totally against America. And they made anti-Semitic remarks, they made horrible remarks, they made violent remarks. But no, nothing as bad as Loretta Lynch saying that we have to go out and have blood on the streets, or Al Sharpton saying we have to burn down all the cities in 2016, or Obama saying, yes, there may be loss of life, or Michelle Obama, Big Mike, saying the same thing. They were doing what they accused Trump of doing. Trump hasn't incited any of this. That's complete insanity. But they did, and they still are. And OFA is still inciting all of this using Saul Alinsky's book, which the Obamas live by. They probably keep a copy under their pillow at night. It is a radical manual on how to dismember American freedoms and basically destroy our Constitution. So what we're seeing now is, to me, it's beautiful because it's all being exposed. And as it's exposed, it gets harder for them to hide. And then their lies have to get bigger. And their lies become so fantastic that the old rule that says the bigger the lie, the easier it is to make people believe it, doesn't work anymore, because Joe Biden opens his mouth and nothing comes out but lies planted there by Pelosi and AOC and socialism.
But he's coming out of the basement now. He can't hide any longer. And I want to see that he has as grueling a schedule as President Trump. And I don't want to see handlers around him, you know, little mommies holding his hand, walking him. I want to see a man stand and walk to the stand and hold his position like our president does. That's what I want to see from Joe Biden. And if he can't do that, he needs just to wave his white flag and surrender. Oh, and don't get me started about Kamala. She is an illegal alien, and immigration hasn't deported her, hasn't done anything that I can see yet. And I want to see it in the public platform that that woman, Kamala Harris, is sent back to the country of her origin or her whatever. Maybe she's a Canadian now. We don't know, but she has not proven her United States citizenship.
2016, they chose the biggest criminal that they could find, Hillary Clinton, who could barely stand up, who is so sick. And she's such a multiple lifetime loser, except that she's really good at stealing and being a mob boss. That's what we got in 2016. And then 2020. Oh, my gosh. We got the second biggest criminal around, Joe Biden. The only reason he can't keep up with the Clintons himself, but he uses his son and all of his relatives to steal untold amounts of money. And so we get the second biggest criminal, who's also a multiple loser. So that's the best they got, folks. That's the good news. Pelosi is the best they got. Schumer is the best they have. And everyone knows they're such fantastic liars. The second they open their mouth, they expect a gigantic lie to come out. And that's the Democrats too. But they don't care about the lies as long as each person who votes for the demon rats thinks that they're getting their agenda accomplished by voting for those people. But remember, no Democrat has ever followed through on anything for social justice that I know of. I can't name a one. They all preach it. None of them live it. And so this is becoming evident, and we are seeing a transformation. We're seeing the second American Revolution, Trump leading it like George Washington. And now he's getting ready to cross the Delaware, and he is going to win by the basically letting them do what the German soldiers did that he conquered that night. They were all drunk and asleep and partied. So remember, hardly a shot was fired when he won that battle. That's what's going to happen now. He doesn't have to fire any shots. Notice that he didn't have to go low and talk about Joe's criminality. He didn't have to talk about Hunter Biden. He didn't have to talk about the overt criminality of the other side. He just showed the contrast that he's different and he's moving forward. Folks, the election will absolutely be won by Trump. And after that, we're going to see a cleanup of all the garbage that we have seen come out right now. And it's going to be cleaned up with a street cleaner.
We have to clean it up and be brave and bold and clean it up. No pussy stuff here. We need a leader to take care of it, because we know as average citizens that we have found where the head of the beast is. And that's a pilgrim society. They have an address. They're a 501c3. We want to see a list of the members. And then we want to run our own Nuremberg trials. We want to do it in the public so the whole world can see that these people are going down. Now, just by starting that process, the other evil ones lower down in the ranks, they'll probably hole up in their houses and never come out because they'll be so afraid if they're next. And they are going to be next. And we got to do it even if it takes a couple of years. And I want to start at the top. I want to start with Obama and Brennan and Clapper and McCabe and Rosenstein and Lisa, you know, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. And we want to do all the nasties. We want to take out Henry Kissinger because he's been running this operation behind the scenes his whole life, our whole lives. And he has killed and maimed, murdered millions and millions of people in the world. And so has Susan Rice. We want them all gone. Yes. We want to see Nuremberg public trials, and upon their guilt, the people of the world demand executions.